All right, everybody, it's good to see y'all. I want to thank y'all for being a part of our weekly devotional. Today, our lesson is titled, Not Ashamed, and we're going to turn to the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at one of the most famous statements in all of the Bible. The Apostle Paul has written this letter from Rome to the church at Rome, and he is saying, he is giving his grand opus, this is probably his greatest letter, and he's writing to the people to encourage them. And so today we're going to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32. And so let's look together in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions one for another, men committing shameful acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness and evil and covetousness and malice. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and maliciousness. They are gossips and slanderers and haters of God, and insolent and haughty and boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them." The Apostle Paul has written this letter for a way for us to understand the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. And in this passage, Paul begins by making a statement that says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." He is not ashamed. Paul is also literally locked up in chains as he's writing this letter. Now, what I want to show you is that Paul is going to say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of life for everyone who believes." And so he's saying, he's showing us the benefits and the privileges of being a child of God, of receiving and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and knowing salvation. And what's so ironic is that Paul is locked up in a prison cell writing this letter about the gospel that has set him free from sin itself. And so he's going to talk about how the gospel has set him free, where we know that he is locked up in chains. But then he's going to go on to describe those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are out living in a world doing what they want to do. They're living in rebellion to God. They're living according to sin and self. And they are literally imprisoned by their own lust and desires. That sin has them captured. That they are slaves and prisoners to their sins. And so Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of God, His word, His promise of salvation, the gospel is our way to be free. That's exactly what Jesus said. He said, if you receive these words, if you believe these words, if you walk in these words, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And guys, ladies, there are so many people that are out in this world who are walking around claiming to be free that are imprisoned by sin and self, that are living in sorrow and pain and suffering and destruction and despair. And instead of trusting in God the Creator, they are turning to the things in the creation. And all that the creation can show us is futility. All that the creation can bring to us is enslavement. It is through God alone that we are set free. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of this message, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. The Word of God is the power of God. And through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God, we can be set free to be the people that God has created us to be instead of the people that this world is trying to conform us into. So look what he says. This salvation is to everyone who believes, right? So how does that work? The gospel proclamation goes out to all of the world. The universal call of salvation, the universal call of to turn to Christ Jesus and to repent and to believe is a universal call. The preacher calls out to the people and says, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. And it goes out to everyone. And what's going to happen? Some people are going to receive that call, and some are going to believe that call, and some are going to turn and respond to that call. And yet there will be others who refuse to turn, that continue to live in open rebellion to God, and it brings forth destruction, and it brings forth the only promise it can bring forth, and when we reject God and His gospel, is the promise of hell and destruction. And so Paul is claiming that he's not ashamed of this message, and the question that you have to ask yourself is, what have you done with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you received it and believed it? Are you walking in it? Or have you rejected it? And so it said this gospel message, this power of God and salvation is for everyone who believes. No matter who you are out there, if you know in your heart that you are a sinner, if you know in your heart that you are headed for hell, if you know in your heart that there is nothing to look forward to, if you're struggling in sorrow and depression and pain and suffering, this message is for you. And all you have to do is turn away from your sin and turn away from yourself and turn away from the things that are destroying you and simply turn to Jesus Christ. His gospel, His good news, His salvation will set you free. And he says this message is to the Jew and also to the Greek. And so it goes to everyone. That call, no matter race, color, country, creed, the gospel message is declared to all so that all who will believe will turn and receive Him and believe Him. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So who are the righteous? Those are the ones who have been forgiven for their sins and God has shared His righteousness with them. He has accredited them with the life that Jesus lived. That's what the gospel message is really all about. That we are sinners and God loves sinners. God loved us enough to send His Son Jesus to come and to live a life that we could not live, a perfect life according to the will of God that followed and fulfilled the law of God. And He came and spread His arms on a tree and took the hell and the wrath we deserve for the life that we could not live. We could not live according to God's standard of righteousness and perfection. And so Christ came, and he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might know the righteousness of God. Jesus died on that cross and took a death we deserve so that we can have a life that we could never earn. And it says the righteous shall live by faith. So by believing that, by believing in what Jesus has done on the cross, by believing in the gospel and turning from sin and self and turning to Christ, not only does he take our death away from us, but he credits us with his righteousness. He gives us, he imputes his righteousness to me and you. Now, that is for those who believe. The righteous will live by faith. But then what does Paul go on to say and express to us in verses 18 through 32? He says that the unrighteous will die by their rebellion and unbelief. Look what he says. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men, by who their unrighteousness willfully suppress the truth. Think about that. What is he saying? God's wrath is being revealed from heaven. Now, what is wrath? It's the fervent, heated anger. That's what wrath is. And so God's anger is hanging over this world, and it's being revealed that his wrath is being poured out on all the ungodly. And guys, when we think of God's wrath, we can think of Noah and the ark. We can think of the flood that came and destroyed all of the earth. We can think about the promise of his coming destruction of this world, where it says that the elements will melt in a fervent heat, and that is God's wrath and that is God's justice, and it will be poured out. But what Paul is going to show us here in verses 18 through 32 is that another way that God expresses his wrath towards rebellious and self-willed and self-righteous and self-sufficient fallen sons of Adam is that he simply turns us over to our own desires. Think about that. One of the ways that God shows his anger towards us is by simply letting us go be us, by allowing us to live in our rebellion, allowing us to live in our sins. Why? Because by doing that, we are bringing destruction upon our own heads. And so it's saying that God's wrath is not only expressed through his eternal judgment, but the temporal judgment of turning us over to our own desires and our own ways and to our own wickedness. And so now he's going to describe that to us. He says that these unrighteous men willfully suppress the truth. They know that there's a God. They know that that his judgment is hanging over their head. They know that they will one day answer to him. And yet, what do? They reject him. They deny him. They claim that they don't believe that there is a God. And remember what it's saying, what the scriptures is telling me and you, is that they are willfully, by their own desires, they are suppressing that truth. They're pushing it down. They don't want to believe it. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that were made. So they are without excuse. And so what Paul is describing to us here is the fact that all men everywhere know that there is a God, and it's through natural revelation that they're made aware of that. You can go anywhere in the world you want to, and you can find any tribe of people of any tongue. You may find a little group of indigenous people that have never met a Christian missionary, never met anybody to tell them about God, and yet what you'll find is they might not have clothes, and they might not have fancy houses to live in. They may be living in a primitive culture somewhere, but what you'll find with all people, all sons of Adam, is they'll be worshiping something. They'll be praying to the rocks or the sun or the river or something. Why? Because God has impressed upon all of us, because we were created in the image of God, we were created to worship God. And what are men going to do? They're going to worship something. They're going to find something and make it a God and worship it. And so that's what he's going to show us right here. He's going to say these men are without excuse because they know there's something out there, and yet through their willful suppression of the truth, they reject God. And what he's going to show us here now is he's going to say, but instead of worshiping God, they're going to turn from the Creator and they're going to find something in the creation to worship. Why? Because they are in rebellion to the Creator and they want to worship something on their own terms, on their own standards. It says, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, but they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling men, mortal men, and birds and animals and creeping things. And that's exactly what men do. Instead of worshiping the Creator, they find something in the creation to worship. And so what are they doing? God created me and you in His image. And rebellious man is now turning around saying, you know what? I'm going to create God in my image. I'm going to make God like me. Then it says, God has given them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, and to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. What is it called when we worship the creature instead of the Creator? The term is called idolatry. It means to replace God with something that is not God. And the first commandment in the law says, you shall have no other gods before me. And what does man do? We willfully suppress that truth and we find something to put in the place of God. They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. And for this reason, God simply gives them up. And He gives them up to dishonorable passions. Women exchange their natural relations that are contrary to nature, and men give up their natural relation with women and are consumed with passion one for another. Men committing shameful acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their errors. One of the most blatant and shameful expressions of rebellion is homosexuality. When a man takes the body that he has been given by God and uses it for his own lust and for his own desires, he is basically balling up his fists and grinding his teeth and spitting in the face of God and saying, you made me one way, but I'm going to use this body the way that I want to use it. And what does it say? They receive in themselves the due penalty for the error that they are committing. They do not see fit to acknowledge God, so God gives them over to a debased mind. So what has happened? In His rebellion, we were created in the image of God, and through the fall, we've lost that image, and through rebellion, we become more and more like the fallen creation around us, and less like the Creator who created us. And so He says that He gives them over to a debased mind. And so this downward spiral is caused by a people who are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A people who are ashamed of the righteousness of God. Remember what Adam and Eve did in the garden when they realized they had sinned and fallen? What did they do? They covered themselves in fig leaves and ran and hid, what? In shame. That's what sin brings. It brings shame. It brings suffering. It brings despair. It brings pain and sorrow. And so what Paul is saying here, guys, is this. He is saying the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way to life and life everlasting. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the way for us to have a relationship with the Creator who created us. And if we are not ashamed of that gospel, we will receive that gospel. We will believe that gospel and we will walk in that gospel. But if we are ashamed, if we turn from God and continue to willfully suppress the truth of who He is, God in His wrath turns us over to our own desires. And guys, there is no worse form of judgment on the face of this earth than for God to turn you over to your own desires. You will destroy yourself, and not only will you destroy yourself, but you will destroy the people around you as well. And that's what He's been showing us in this passage here. Listen to what He says, and we'll finish up. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, and covetousness and malice. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips and slanderers and haters of God and insolent and haughty and boastful and inventors of evil and disobedient to their parents and foolish and faithless and heartless and ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree and those that practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. You know, what's amazing about that passage? Listen at it again. Unrighteous, evil, covetous, malice, full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and maliciousness, gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. You know, what is amazing about that statement is Paul wrote this almost 2,000 years ago. And he was describing the culture around him. And it sounds exactly like our culture today. And if you were to take those same statements and go to anywhere in the world and read that out to a group of people, you know what they would say? Yeah, that sounds like the community around me. That sounds like the people around me. Because that is the fallen state of humankind. We are ashamed of God. We are ashamed of our Creator. We are ashamed of what He has done for us. And we turn away from that and we turn to ourselves. We willfully suppress the righteousness of who He is. And so what does God do? He simply turns us over to ourselves. And we live lives that are full of evil and covetousness and malice and envy and murder and strife and deceit and maliciousness. And we gossip and we slander and we hate God and we're insolent and we're haughty and boastful. We invent evil. We're disobedient to our parents. We're foolish. We're faithless. We're heartless. We're ruthless. And we know that those who do these things deserve to die. And not only do we continue to do them, but we approve of those around us who are doing the same. So, you today are in a position. You will either be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will be ashamed of His Son Jesus and what He did on that cross to save broken men and women like you and I. And you will be turned over to the wrath of God to continue to live a life of futility and suffering and sorrow. Or you will not be ashamed of that gospel and you will turn from sin and self and receive His Son Jesus Christ and walk in the beauty and the truth of His love and His mercy and His grace and His hope. You will either continue to willfully suppress the truth, or you will turn away from your rebellion and you will turn in it and allow that truth to embrace you. Allow God to turn you into a child of God and not a child of this world. So my prayer for you today is that you will take this passage and read it on your own and think about what Paul is saying. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. The only way we can be saved is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Turn to Him today and know His salvation. Father, thank You for this time You've given us together. Thank You for these words, these tough words, these true words. Help us to receive these words and believe these words and walk in these words. In Christ's name we pray.